The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Can we just say a word of prayer? I know you prayed before I came, but since we're here now, Father God, we give you thanks in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the power of your word, for the gathering of your people, for the hope, the trust that you have caused us to have in you, for the hope that you are generating in our hearts by the power of the word that's coming. Lord, we thank you. We know our hope will not be disappointed. Our destinies, Lord, are bright. We know that our lives will give you glory. We're overcomers by the power of this word in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, today as we've gathered again, give us an understanding heart and give us revelation that we'll use to tackle the affairs and the challenges of every day in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Okay. Now, I think we ended last time in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And then I want to continue today from chapter 10. He said, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and all ate the same spiritual food." And I was talking about manna there. "And all drank the same spiritual drink." Now, this was a type of... Now, he was talking about typologies. That is, these things were types of things. So, he was trying to explain using the experience of the children of Israel in the wilderness. All right, he wanted to explain some issues about the life of the believer. So he was explaining that all of them passed under the cloud, passed through the sea, and all were all baptized by that process of passing through the cloud and through the sea. They were baptized into Moses, that is, into the covenant that was given by Moses. And all ate the same spiritual food, that was manna, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Now again, these were types. He was giving these things as types. He said, "Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness." We already studied and understand why. It was because they did not obey the word of God, and they did not believe him when he spoke to them. He said, "Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, and they all were laid low in the wilderness. Now, these things," our emphasis, verse 6, "happened to them as examples for us, that we should not crave evil things as they also craved, and do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play." That's the reference. He said, "Now let us act immorally as some did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord as some did and were destroyed by the serpent, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you," he said, "but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it." Now, I've just read all of that, all right, so that we'll get the whole picture. Paul was trying to bring out something here. Now, please, let's go back a few steps and understand the issues before now. You know, last time Paul was talking about himself as a person, and he talked about how he allowed things that were his right, okay? He gave them up, all right? "I could eat anything I wanted," he said, "because of my understanding. But I understand further than that, that if my brother is not being blessed by what I am doing, I'm therefore injuring one for whom Christ died." He explained that. We read that in chapter 8. And then in chapter 9, he talked about his rights, okay, as an apostle. The fact that he was entitled to many things, to be supported by these people, but he forgave that also. He gave up the right so that he would be able to effectively minister and be faithful in doing the work that God had committed into his hand. And that, you know, when we read that 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, thereabout, he said, "For though I am free from all men, that is by reason of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, I am a free man." He said, "I have made myself a slave to all. I have become subjected to slavery, it appears like, so that I might win many people." I'm trying to bring a trend in the thoughts that I'm bringing out here. So he was saying that, "See, I have given up all these things so that I may be effective in my ministry." The summary of everything he said is in verse 27. or let me just see from verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I buffet my body and I make it my slave. Lest possibly, after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Now, what was Paul explaining? Well, we'll discuss that before. I just want to connect with what we are saying today. That is, when I'm walking, there is an aim, there's a goal I'm going for. I told you something just now, that I was late for only one reason. I was just tired. I looked for every manner of way by which I could communicate with everybody not to come this evening so that me too, I won't show. And I didn't find. Okay. And my wife was just laughing at me. She couldn't come because two of our kids are not feeling well. So I have a rule. Somebody has to stay with them. So I told her to just stay behind at home and just stay with the kids. Now, so she was all laughing at me as I was getting ready. You're almost late. I said, I know I don't late. In fact, if I had a way of just signaling everybody, please, I'm not going to be around. But and I said, I know somebody who is also tired and is somewhere. And he said, no, let me go and hear the teaching of the word of God today. Do you understand my point? I said, it would not be right for the person to get here and hear that until I was tired. So you know what I told myself? I said, when I get here, I will just sit down. I will look at each other's face. At least I came. All right, the Lord is good. Now, what am I trying to explain? But you see, you still go ahead, look beyond your own tiredness, all right, and get up and do your work. And this is just a matter of fact. I don't minister by my strength. As I'm talking right now, I can feel the anointing has entered my head again. You know, the strength, the tiredness, I will get it back when I finish here. The tiredness is waiting at the door. It has moved to go and wait for me there. So I know that once I get up, all right, no, really, as a matter of fact, I will connect with the grace of God, and those who settle down to listen will most certainly be blessed. I don't doubt at all. So I said, okay, let's step into that. Now, why am I saying this? I'm trying to explain what Paul meant by I buffet my body. I make it my slave. He said, I am boxing not as one without aim. I'm not boxing as one beating the air. The reason why I take all the beating is because I want to achieve a purpose. Are you getting my point? I will take all of these things because there is a goal that we are going for. Now, having said all of that, okay, well, that was what we read in the previous chapters. I want to connect that with verse 10, chapter 10. You see the same thing he's saying. Now, he has talked about himself, as you can see that. Now, he wants to shift the attention now to the other people that are listening to him. All right? He said, I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, that whatever it is you have experienced now, people experienced a type of it in previous times, and they still suffered at the end of the day when they did not, in quote, put their bodies under. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. All right, that is, he said that if you have been baptized into Christ, so were the Jews who left Egypt. They were baptized into Moses. All right, you've been hearing the word of God. He said they were fed with the same spiritual food. That was manna, the food of angels. The word of God in fleshly form came to them and they ate that food. And all drank the same spiritual drink, he was saying, that is the same, that the water that came from the rock. And that as a matter of typology, is as if they were drinking from the rock that was Christ Jesus, from whom also we are drinking by the power of his word. Now get this. In verse 5, it now says, despite all of this, with most of them, God was not well pleased, and therefore they died in the wilderness. So we're supposed to take instruction from them. He said, therefore, let us check the things that made people who had become, let's use our modern day terms, they had become Christians, they had become believers. Let us check the things that made them fall. Because at the end of the day, he said, therefore, let him, verse 12, let him who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. All right? That there's no temptation that has overtaken you that is not common to man. That is, these same people faced the same temptations. Are you getting me? And their lives, their experiences, all right, have been recorded for your learning. So what are the mistakes they made? What are the things that you were not careful about that made them fall, all right, in the wilderness? He said, one, he said, from verse 6, he said, they craved evil things. That was number one. Let me explain something about spiritual things. If you're reading the scriptures, things tend to go line by line. Do you understand me? And precept upon precept. Apart from that, they tend to follow a foundation. Let me explain what I mean. A process like you are building. The first error is that they did what? They craved evil things. Did you hear what I said? Listen. That is, this was what opened them up to other things. That was what opened them up to idolatry. That was what opened them up to acts of immorality. That was what opened them up to tempting the Lord. That was what opened them up to grumbling. Please, I don't know whether you're getting my point. Please, this is a foundational thing. I said this on Saturday. Again, we've said in previous times. That in life, there are roots and there are fruits. Do you get my point? A lot of things people are struggling for, they're actually fruits. Things that they want in their lives, they are fruits. They are not roots. God doesn't give you the ability to control the fruit. He gives the ability to control the root. Do you get my point? Or which goes similarly to something like the seed. You can handle what is the seed. You cannot dictate what will be the fruit. According to Oswald Chambers, God has given me the ability to choose my actions, but he has not given me the, let me use the word, opportunity to choose the consequences. Do you get my point? Now, a lot of things are consequences in life. You know, I told you the other day that I was somewhere, I was on Saturday, and I saw myself surrounded by a lot of people who apparently were not planning to go anywhere. Some of them, it's obvious they have not gone anywhere. That is, they are past the age of trying to go somewhere. So, they have not gone anywhere. And there are a lot of younger people who are towing the same path. And I felt like calling the people, say, come. Can't you see that this is the path of failure permanently in life? You know, permanent failure. You know, there's temporary failure. You invested money in a business today, it didn't work tomorrow. That's temporary big failure. That's small big failure. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, that one is small failure. But there's permanent failure in which there's nobody's even doing business with you again. You wake up in the morning, nobody wants to talk to you. There's no business idea you have that anybody wants to listen to. That is, it's not as if we tried and we failed. That is, as we are right now, we can't do anything again. That's what I call permanent failure. Usually, it's not, you usually don't find it in young people. People who are in that kind of situation, usually they will cross the age of 40, 50s, thereabout. And I said, look, can't people see that this is not leading them anywhere? This is what I'm making. There are little choices they will make. Let me give you, the way, you know, in that book, Choice is Key to Destiny, I explained it. There are little choices like, oh boy, let's go and sleep. No, let's go and listen to the word of God. It's as trivial as that. Little choices like, there's this movie they are showing right now. I can't miss it. Oh boy, it's time for Bible study. No, I'm serious. Things like, stay at home and rest now. You are tired. Or go and teach. People are waiting. Do you understand my point? Look, if Olusi Meka had picked the microphone and said, praise the Lord, brother, let us pray. After we pray for like 15 minutes, Pastor should tell all of you that he's very tired. You know what you would do? You say, try it. Yes, try it. No, really. You know that's what you would do? I know you forgive me. It's not a habit now. How many days have you reached there and then they told you I was not around because I'm tired? You are getting what I'm saying? All right, that Paul talking about buffeting my body. So I won't say because I can do that, I won't do what is necessary. I'm trying to say something. In the same manner, you know, Paul first talked about the issue that he was a preacher. Now he's talking about those he has preached to. There are little choices people make here and there, and it affects their destiny. They don't understand. Little things like, just like I said, let us go for this party, or let's go for this seminar. Little things like, they are sharing question paper. Let's ask those who are in school. This is the real question that is going to come out in this exam. I'm sure. Whether it's the real one or not. Little things like, I don't want to look. Oh boy, give me my own now. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. This life is like that. Spiritual things. Now, these are the places where we can make our choices. The consequences, this is not our own portion. Most people don't realize the choices are funny. You don't understand the magnitude, do you follow, of what they are going to produce later. And whether you do left or right, all right, in the matter of choice making, really doesn't affect you at that moment. So you will never realize at that point that what you did was right, apart from the voice of your conscience. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? But does that make sense? That is, it's not as if, I didn't go that way and I lost money. Those are things you can feel instantly. This one is that I didn't go that way, period. I didn't go. There's no consequence that I can feel. That's how choices are immediately. But actually, they have registered something that you will feel in 25 years' time. And unfortunately, you won't even know that was where it was registered. You are getting what I'm saying? Spiritual things are like that. So people, they try to control fruit, not knowing that they don't have the ability to control fruit. They only have the ability to manipulate the roots. Do you get my point? Like, we'll continue to discuss that one on Saturday. Talk about the root of bitterness. Bitterness is a root. Once you feel it, you kill the root. Once it has manifested, if you don't kill the root, what it does is that it starts troubling people. There's trouble everywhere. You know, maybe because I'm a teacher, all right, of the Word of God, you know, the affairs of life, anytime I go around, I try to make sense of things. I see a man who's thoroughly badly behaved. And I say, how can you correct this person? And I'm bringing down something, all of things I'm saying. Because you want to start correcting him, you have about 25,572 things to correct him on. Don't ask me how I arrived at that figure. All right? There are so many things. But over time, I've come to understand, no, that is not the major thing you correct. Most of the times, the major thing you're supposed to correct, you don't know. But if God were to open your eyes, you may find out that it's just one little thing that he's been doing since he was a child. He never repented of. That's turning him to this kind of crazy behaving man. Let me give you an example. When we went to Owerri that time, now that was the first time I would do meeting. I allow people to come and ask questions, you know, see me personally for counseling. Normally, I don't do counseling. I don't because I don't imagine how will I hear all your life's problems in 5 minutes and give you all the solution in another 3 minutes. Not possible now. So please, just listen to me and pray. May God help your pastor to help you. I'm not your pastor. I just teach. All right? Now, that day anyway, I allowed people to come and ask questions and stuff. And one man came. He said he came all the way from, well, he mentioned the name of the village. I don't know. Came to where? Not really to attend the seminar. He just wanted to ask me one question. There's an issue. How will he handle it? So I told him to wait. Let me finish talking to that, but apparently he wants to take a lot of time. So I spoke to him last. What was the issue? He said his father is not behaving like a man should behave. And he said that he wants me to talk now because he's about to take some drastic actions. Yes. And I was looking at the man. I said, what do you mean? Because I looked at him. This boy, you don't look small. You know what I mean? You're not a small boy. This guy, you're not a small boy. Let me assess his age. Probably be like 35. So in my mind, what is a father supposed to do for a man who's 35? You know, I really can't understand the situation. I said, please explain. What is it that your father is not doing? He says, not taking his responsibility as the head of the home. I said, like what? He said, like the other day now, he sold land for a lot of money. In my mind, oh God, persuade my brother to share the inheritance with me. You know, that's what he told Jesus Christ. And he said, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you? I said, oh, is that the issue? Now, I didn't laugh at him. It's not that it's funny. Because for a man to travel from wherever he travels for, because from knowing that Pastor Banky is coming to away, and he wants to come and get a solution to this problem before he does something dangerous. You know, it's not funny. So I settled down. I said, all right, explain. He talked and talked and talked. He said, no, he doesn't know what to do. Now, listen to this. Let us assume now that he didn't come to see me. And he did something terrible. Maybe one day he forced his father, took a knife and injured his father. No, it can get to that level. No, if you know life, it can get to that. And at the end of the day, the guy is in jail. And everybody has to talk to him and he doesn't understand. And you wonder, what is wrong with this fellow? How did he become like this? He wasn't like this before. I used to know him as a quiet fellow. And you just be confused. But God sent him to me that day, or sent me to him, or sent us to meet each other somewhere along the line. And after he finished talking, I asked him, I said, what do you do? He said, he farms poultry. I said, I can't remember whether I asked him whether I was married or something. I asked him a few questions. The summary of it is that you're not a small boy. No. I said, your father doesn't owe you any responsibility in that line. The man looked at me. I said, yes, most certainly. At this point in time, you owe your father all the responsibilities. The law of duties you owe this man right now, he was looking. You know, that experience taught me something. That Pastor Banky, there are so many things people don't know. You had better start teaching them. I don't know whether you get my point. I didn't know how to tell an adult that. That your father sold land is his personal problem. Was it your land? He said no. And what didn't concern you? What didn't the man do with the money where he made from the land where he said? I said, let me tell you how things work. You say you found poetry. Say, I said, from now on, let me give you an instruction. Every weekend, go home, drop 6 eggs for your father. Every weekend. I said, periodically you have to call off your, you know, they call, is it calling now? Yes. Your old layers. He said, yes. I said, before you sell any, first take one or two to him and say, this is your own. Daddy, take. I said, God will bless you if you obey these things that I'm saying. And then when God has blessed you, I said, buying emotion paint is not a lot of money. One day, buy paint. Get a young boy who can paint. Take him to your father's house and say, Papa, you have not painted this house from the way I can see it in the last 10 years. I have now bought paint, and this guy will paint. Give him 2 days to paint. Let him paint. I said, if he offers anything, don't take. I said, you know why? Because you are doing your duty as a son is supposed to do to his father. Now, I'm bringing out something. The guy was sitting there looking at me like this. There was news. News. Maybe he expected I was to go and call the elders of your village. Let them talk to him. You are his son. You are a first son. You have a right to half of whatever land he sells. I told him that. I said, listen, God will bless you so much, you will wonder why you wanted anything from him in the first place. He said, thank you very much, sir. I would have loved to stay for the evening program, but that he came from far. So he has to start going back. I prayed with him and he left. Now, why did I tell that story? I realized that just a simple matter of understanding. Very basic. Basic doctrine. I would have thought every Christian knew that. No, not honestly. That's what I would have thought. The way I understand it is that no matter how much money my father has, alright, somebody who is above me, I'm not asking anything from him. I expect every time I go home, I take a gift. It's a rule my wife and I apply. We don't travel without taking a gift. Alright, my dad is late now, but my mom is still there. I was home. I have to take a gift. I go to see my father-in-law, my mother-in-law. As a rule, you just have to take a gift. I don't care how much money you have. It's not my problem. I made a joke some time ago, for those of you who were here, sometime last year or the year before. As I won Christmas, I bought a bag of rice amongst many things I wanted to give to my parents-in-law. And that where they were going to drop the bag of rice I brought, I saw, I don't know how many bags. No, they were stacked like this. I said, that's your problem. No, it's your problem. Next year, I'm bringing another bag. In fact, next year it will be two. Let me come there and meet a trailer load. It's your problem. The following year, I'm bringing 10 bags. We'll be competing. Why? You have plenty of rice. Does not concern me. It's my duty as a son. Now, please, let me sit on what I'm saying. So you find out that that's how spiritual things are. There's a basic thing. That man was going to go through a lot of hassle. He had suffered so much mental torture because he didn't understand that he was walking in what the Bible calls covetousness. And his own covetousness came as a fruit, all right, which has a root, which I will call lack of understanding. Do you get my point? Lack of knowledge. He just had the wrong perspective of life. I said, oh boy, your father don't try. You don't grow to a particular level. From now on, you don't even expect anything from him anymore. You start looking to God. Let him bless your hand. You've been hearing me preach. He said yes. They obey the things I've been saying. And I go at home and do this like an instruction that I'm giving you. And watch what God will do in your life. I said, I would like one day for you to call me and tell me what God has been doing. Next time I come around, make sure you're around to come and tell me what God did in your life. Because I was so certain of it. Because you see, it's not just a matter of obedience. Now, I gave him the instructions. And I was certain if he would obey everything I said, forget it. The man will be blessed. I bring out the point. God said, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He said this way. This was the first problem they had. They craved evil things. Verse 6. And that was what opened the door for everything else. He said, no, don't forget what I was saying. We are picking all the mistakes they made. He said, now these things happen to them as examples, so that we should not crave evil things as they also craved, and not be idolaters as some of them were. All right, and not act immorally, and some of them did. All right, and verse 9 says, let us not try or tempt the Lord as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. He said, these things happened to them as an example, and they were recorded for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages have come. What am I saying now? The first and basic thing was that they craved evil things. Let me explain something again. You know, I said that you find out at the end of the day, they became idolaters, people acting immorally and all of that. The Bible says that there are three things that are in the world. The loss of the eyes, the loss of the flesh, and the pride of life. Basic things. And when I say basic things now, sometimes we talk with people, you know. I've given this as an example before. A young man came to me once Alright, I was trying to get out of the country. I was making all plans and all of that. So I just asked out of curiosity. I said, what's the issue? What's the drive? Because everything, something moves you every time. You don't move yourself. There are things that move you. That's a matter of fact. And the basic thing that moves you is the thing you are really craving. Do you get what I'm saying? Let me just say that to us clearly. As a believer, what should be the intense craving of your heart is to be found pleasing in the sight of God. That's it. That is whatever you want to do. You know, I was talking with this woman today, Sabina McFoy, and we're talking. She was explaining how people are getting carried away by all kinds of strange doctrines. And now, let me say this to you. I said something, and it was on Saturday. Be very careful how you follow people. Yes, men of God, you don't worship them. No, you'd never do that. The problem is that people sometimes, they look at a man who have believed God in previous times, and who God has blessed for one reason or the other, and then they look at the fruit, the blessing in his life, as a sign of God's approval. Now, I'm not saying it wasn't God that blessed the man with it. I'm just saying that you cannot start chasing the blessings outwardly. Because, you see, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man plants. When he finishes bearing fruit, he himself does not know how. Do you get my point? He may have forgotten exactly what he did that made God bring him to that particular level. Now, he did not set out in life trying to get all these kind of external blessings. But having pleased God, God gave him the desire of his heart. And now, he may not even understand that. He's now start preaching to people. 5 things to do if you want a church that has 5,000 people. Number one, preach a message that makes them happy. Number two, never say anything critical from the pulpit. Number three, make sure you wear a fine suit every day. I know this was paying me. A lot of people is there writing down and trying to copy the thing. What one of the things you must understand about life is simple. God blesses people for reasons you can't understand. The day Pastor W.D. Favor and I were speaking, I told him something. I said, what I have discovered is this. If you please God, and God said, what do you want to do for you? He says, sir, I want a church of 55,000 people. God cannot increase the number of serious people in town. I hope you know that. If there are only 300 serious people, he'll give you 300 serious people. And 54,700 Muguns and goats and morons. You wanted 55,000 people. On Sunday, we have the biggest church south of the Sahara. God is not concerned. You wanted to be happy by seeing 55,000 people on Sundays. There they are. Half of them are goats. The other ones don't think it doesn't make any difference. If you count 55,000, are you happy? Yes. Now, these are the 50,000 that if you tell them, sell your mothers and bring the money of the sale, they will bring it. God says, are you happy? Say yes, sir. I'm telling you, that's why you have to look very, very careful. Be very careful. If you want to listen to the message of a man who has been blessed, go and listen to his old messages. No, I'm serious. No, I'm very serious. I'm very serious. I've listened to men. One day, I saw this series of messages by T.D. Jakes. Thomas Dexter Jakes, yes. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. I saw it with Pastor Ed. So I wrote that, Pastor, no, we get to listen to the God. So he gave me this in. So we're listening to it. I said, Pastor, this is not the message I wanted to listen to. He said, what? I said, this is the sacrifice of thanksgiving when thanksgiving is no longer a sacrifice. I said, why I was rushing for the message was that the first time I heard T.D. Jakes preach, was the sacrifice of thanksgiving. No, virtually nobody, I had never heard T.D. Jakes. My friend just said, Bank, there is a message you must listen to. I went to his house, he just put it, yeah? Listen. And I saw this fat black man. Now the man is slim. He has written a book titled Lay Aside Every Weight. Having laid aside every weight. No, T.D. Jakes lost over 50 kg to come down to the weight that he is right now. I'm telling you, the man shed weight heavily. He now wrote a book titled Lay Aside Every Weight. On how to lay aside every weight. You know what I mean? Then you see his fold. When he wears a neck collar, a reverend, you can't see the collar because the neck is the collar in itself. It covers the real collar. And he preached the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Till today, I've not heard anybody preach that. Even me, I can't preach. I can't even remember what he said. Do you get my point? I can remember how, what he said that when people are shouting, oh, Father, we thank you. We thank God. Offer God the sacrifice. He said, look, the sacrifice of thanksgiving was Isaac that Abraham took to the altar. Not I just raise my hand and I worship. Do you get my point? Now, so what I'm going to say is that you listen to the, when I listen to the one which now he was wearing a money suit, you know what I mean, and Calvin Klein ties and spraying the, you know, custom, you know, this one personalized edition of Polo, you know, those are the things you see, and it has two private jets. I listen to the message. I say, Pastor, this is not the message. He said, hey, Dr. B, I agree with you. I know the other one too. He said, right now, man, don't prosper. I said, we just close the message. I said, we'll close the message. Now, is the message wrong? No, of course not. Very good message. Powerful. Yes, I want to compare it to the first one we heard. I heard that message 1993 or 94. All right? About 14 years ago. My God, I never heard anything like this. Listen, that's when men sow the seed that you have seen manifested today. But people now see them today, say, T.D. Jakes School of Ministry for effective ministry to the whole nation. You go and kill. Everyone got the key of the lead. The real message, yeah, it was preached 15 years before you came. Now you are hearing the message of a man who has chopped. You should have heard the message when both you and him were hungry. And then, I wish you would get what I'm trying to say here. What I like about those men, somebody like Bishop Oedipo, is that the things he says today, doesn't preach as well, as much as he used to, in my opinion, all right? But I'm so glad for people like him that the same things he said then, all right? Now, some of us heard it when he didn't have a physical reason to say them. Most people are hearing it now, and they can understand the physical reasons why he's saying it. But when I first heard him say it, there was no physical reason. He was saying things that were far beyond him, most of which he had caught up with, all right, as at now. But then the power was more evident then. That was when I heard him, you know, for the first time. Now, I'm just saying something that, you see, so we don't understand that what we see outwardly, the real root of them, they are usually hidden. They are small. Most people chase the things that are outward, not really the ones that are hidden, which the Bible says he himself does not know how. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, I'm trying to build up something here, that things have foundations like that, and when people, that was in the area of blessing I just explained, but it works in both areas, that if people want to be blessed, it's not the end that is a blessing that they chase. There are some foundational things. Now, here he said, let us not crave evil things. That's why I told I was talking with somebody. That unfortunately, people have started craving, actually, they don't realize it, they started craving evil things. Thinking they are craving blessings. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. That is, see, the number one quest for the heart of the believer should be to be found pleasing to God. That's it. That is, you don't qualify that with anything. To be found pleasing to God. I said before that I read in the scriptures that the man, the one that wants to become rich, all right, passes through many hurtful lusts and pierces himself through with many sorrows, right? And I said, but by my experience in reading the scriptures, that God has always blessed those men who pleased him materially. Abraham, Isaac, even Job. Do you follow my point? You see scriptures that say the Lord delights in the prosperity of his servants. Honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruit of all thy increase, and you will discover that you will never be broke. He said, your vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I mean, it's in the scriptures. He said, so what is the difference? Simple. It was when Jesus Christ showed up. He said, bow down and we'll give you this. He said, no. Anything that I will get in life must be a result of the worship of God. That's the summary of that temptation. Are we saying the things outwardly are not good? No, we never said that. We are saying they are only good when God adds them to you. That's all. The blessing of God, they make rich and will not add sorrow. Do you get my point? It's when God gives you his blessing. Okay, it makes rich, all right, and doesn't add sorrow. It's when God gives you his blessing, whatever come out of it. Do you get my point? Now, if a man starts craving the riches that the blessing gives, he's craving an evil thing. But if he craves the blessing, you get what I'm saying? That is, the blessing makes rich. If you crave riches, what you are craving is evil. If you crave the blessing, which comes by being pleasing to God, then what you are craving is good. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Then no, that's just the way it is. And when people have the wrong craving, when is the foundation of their walk in life a wrong craving, then all other things of not, you know, badness, of evil, and all of that are added unto them. When they crave what is wrong, they become idolaters. Do you get my point? Now, I said something last Saturday before that. I said, as a believer, you can want anything in life. When you're asking God, it's good. But one thing you must always remember is to tell God that if you don't give me, I will never cry. Yes, I'm serious. You can desire anything, it's okay. Say, God, I heard that there's a man who doesn't even believe in God. Or at least like I do. And his name is Puff Daddy. And he has a whole house. And it's his wardrobe. God, in the name of Jesus, now I'm a blessed man. I must have bigger than that. Nothing spoiled. No, nothing spoiled. Nothing spoiled. Just remember to add that, however, more importantly, Lord, is that I must be found pleasing to you at all times. And if you say that I shouldn't even have a house at all, it's okay. People say, no, you're not praying in faith, my friend. Any faith beyond that one is craving evil things. I know what I'm saying, no. I know what I'm saying. No, I really know what I'm saying. I'm not explaining the principle here. So you find out that getting the right foundation is what makes building a great life before God easy. So Paul was explaining, what's the foundation? The problem was what they craved. Now let me say something. I wrote it inside one of the books. Yeah, that great faith can be yours. I wrote what I want to say now there. First time you let me talk about my pastor in Lagos, Pastor Poggi. Pastor Poggi, I talk about him a lot. And the first time I encountered him, I went to eat in a place, Didas, and they had these covenant letters, you know, small newsletters that you could read. And I read one of them titled, the first one I think was Gospel, the Light of the Nations. And the next time I came, I read one titled Manna, the Food of Champions. I can't ever forget that thing he said. Manna, the Food of Champions. I wrote it inside that book. Great faith can be yours. Now, what did he say in Manna, Food of Champions? I want to tell you what he said. Now, he talked about they craved evil things. What was the craving, physically speaking? God was giving them manna. You understand my point? Every day you come out, you pack manna. And you know what the meaning of the word manna? Wait a minute, please. Now, wait. If you see that worry people, they pass with us that time. You know what you'll have called it? Shoo. You can see. Sure, like waiting. That's what they would have called it. What is this? That's what manna is. Now they ate what they didn't know for a long time. What is this? Well, go and get food. What do I get? Whatever you find there. What did you bring? What is this? That is it. What is it? And after some time, we are tired of eating what we don't understand. Let us eat meat. Now, physically speaking, all right, as a believer, that's not a problem. Like, we're talking on physical things now. That's not what Paul was referring to as a believer. Now, he said that was written for our learning. It was a type. Now, there's something that Pastor Paul, you said. That manna, all right, was a bread from heaven that God gave them. Is that okay? And that when Jesus was speaking, he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Your father ate that manna in the wilderness, they still died. But this is the bread that came down from heaven. He was saying, in effect, that there's something in the life of Christ, the word of God that the believer is supposed to crave. Now, bear this in mind. Now, he explained that a time came when they were supposed to face giants. Joshua and Caleb said, no problem, we can face the giants. You know, they did not doubt. Now, he was explaining that the reason why they didn't doubt, now, please try and get the point. I understood the spiritual lesson. Was that they had been eating only manna. I don't know whether you get the point. That they had been eating only the food that God gave them. And that was what gave them the strength to face giants. That was what gave Caleb the strength to live from the age of 40 to the age of 80. Do you understand my point? And yet, his strength did not abate. That's why I called the writing, as I titled the write-up, Manna, the Food of Champions. Are you getting me? Sometimes Christians, I said before, we try to fight fruit. We don't lay hold of the root. The basic thing is what we are craving. I hope what I'm saying is making sense. The basic thing is what we are craving. I'm a preacher, so I like to say this a lot. A lot of preachers crave a large congregation. It's an evil craving. A lot of preachers crave magnificent buildings. It's an evil craving. Listen to this. A lot of preachers crave plenty of money. It's an evil craving.